тем, чтобы выполнять инструкцию. Сейчас просьба каждому человеку из группы поднять руку или встать. Лучше встаньте, тот, кто будет модератором. Как мужчины, так и женщины. В каждой десятке должен быть модератор. Теперь просьба модераторов.
There should be a moderator in each group.
В группе, в которых остались места, встаньте, пожалуйста. Вот оттуда, сзади, пройдите, здесь есть свободное место.
Everybody come ahead in. And there should be a moderator here. Well, if there's one less somewhere, it's not so bad. Oh.
Значит, с левой стороны, вот здесь будет организован круг, в который могут сесть, должны сесть люди англоговорящие.
And this group, there should be English speakers. Anybody that doesn't understand Russian, be good to sit here.
Circle, English-speaking circle. Please, please raise your hand. Responsible. Left side. Here is a English-speaking circle. Those who speak English, please follow this circle.
То же самое с женщинами есть. Вот сидят несколько человек.
Same goes for the women's circle. We must organize.
Сколько вас?
English-speaking circle. It is here, just in front of the seat. Up here, just in front of the scene. The English-speaking circle will be organized just in front of the scene for English-speaking women.
Значит, еще несколько организационных моментов, о которых важно сказать. Они будут в каждом семинаре.
Okay, so a couple of things that we'll mention that are in each seminar. First, we have to add that during the entire workshop, please don't leave or enter. So we're there from the beginning until the end. Now, a seminar at the end of the workshop, or where we have a group action, probably a song. Please don't enter or exit, because with these entrances, we completely remove everybody from the whole process. Anybody that's on duty has to sit all the way at the edge to not bother anybody when they leave or enter. This is for all the workshops. Next moment. Next thing is we have most of the people know how the workshop works. So when the announcer, in this case it's Rav, starts speaking. At that moment we stop speaking immediately, and the moderator needs to very clearly remind everybody that we stop speaking. So when the speaker starts talking, then we immediately stop talking and listen. So a few rules that I'll remind everybody about. It's very important for all 10 people to participate, and it's very important for each person to speak. The text itself doesn't have too much of a special meaning. The most important thing is that aspiration towards unity, which we're talking about. And when one of our friends is speaking, at that moment, we all are quiet and listen attentively, because through that friend, the upper degree is speaking. This this listening, this act of listening, is the most important part. So one person speaks and everybody else listens. Now, how do we speak? We said already that it's important to speak from the heart. And to unite to the next step. So first we speak the truth, two or three sentences, to express our feelings. If somebody can't stop for any moment, then only the moderator can gently remind them that it's important for everybody to speak. The whole, all the dialogue should be only a positive light. There's absolutely no criticism. We just discuss in a positive light the question which is given to each circle. The moderator writes the main ideas, and at the end, there'll be a time when they can ask questions or summarize what's going on in the group. It should be short and sweet for everybody to maintain the rhythm of the whole process. These are the main rules. And we concentrate only on this theme. And, you know, side conversations are excluded. So this is, everybody's participating. So, and then we're done. Another important thing is that when we finish the first part of the seminar and people start sharing their questions or answers, it's a continuation of the workshop. And at that moment, as we're concentrated as a friend is speaking in the circle, likewise we have to concentrate on the thing that the moderator of a particular group is sharing with us as well. It's a very important part of the workshop. Those are the main questions.
Наш конгресс называется «Объединение во имя подъема». В чем заключается само объединение?
Our congress is called Uniting to Ascend. So, what is the essence of the unity? What is the essence of the unification? And we mustn't forget that the goal, whatever we may be doing now, whatever we may be saying, the goal is unification, to feel it in the group at the center, where we begin to see the revelation of something higher, something mutual. Please go ahead. What is the essence of unity?
Just to be clear, we're not getting any sound yet from the Congress site.
Нашего сердца, нашей души. И исходя из своих ощущений, стараемся войти в это единение и ощутить товарищей, находящихся рядом. Объединение — это концентрация наших мыслей, наших чувств, наших желаний, нашего внимания вот в той единой точке, в точке центра группы, где все мы можем быть соединены. Это та точка, которая является действительно общей для нас. Не лично каждого, а вот то общее, то как бы единство, которое мы можем организовать и поддерживать.
It's that mutuality, that unity that we can maintain together. Besides the desire, nothing else exists. All the bodies, they're simply external shells. They're simply external shells which clothe the desires. And the unification the unity is, it comprises in canceling of our desires, my only, in order for it to grant strength and that critical mass, so that it would be able to reveal the upper force within. Unity, the unification of our desires and aspirations into one, into a single whole. Unity is us right here, right now. We endeavor to play our next degree, and we draw upon ourselves the influence of the upper light. It's something that we don't even perceive, we don't notice it, but as the Kabbalists say, it's that moment when we're all trying and every one of us aspires to the center of the group. It is the moment when we are exist in one aspiration, truly in one aspiration, and at that moment the surrounding light does something and creates this sensation of unity, this point of unity. My entire life, all I have is my ego. Everything I've done is came from the ego, stemmed from it. And now that there is this rare moment where I am able to connect with something that exists outside of me and gives me happiness and love and trepidation. I cannot call it unity yet, but I'm anticipating a miracle. I'm tasting a miracle. There is unity and there is unification. Unification is drawing closer to unity. That's how I see it, and it's entails me trying, endeavoring towards it. Not only myself, but all of us to start spinning in this mechanism, like cogwheels. All of us that are here, and all of us that are everyone who's watching, for everyone to start spinning. I'll repeat the question. What is the essence of unity? I think that unity, the essence of unity, is in a constant, uninterrupted exertion. I think that my exertion in unity is for every moment to try to exit this shell of mine and to feel this inner desire toward the Creator, to rise above my ego, for everyone to rise above the ego towards the friends. And if we unite in this desire, to have a single unified desire for everyone, it's we're going to activate this process. A chosen is the only means of our unification. What's good about our ego? And that it helps us in our unification. It's the only means from our end in unification. Go ahead.
So it could have been that he tried everything, only egoism was left. And he's ideal for this goal. Egoism is so multifaceted that we're unable to adapt to it, and every time we get new states, as if everything is already planned in advance, but there are things that can happen to us that we never expected. And we can't sort of calm down. But instead, at every moment in time, these things can actually, you know, awaken us. My ego is a colossal and great force, which drives me so that it would be easier and more comfortable for me. But my only goal is to use the strength correctly. Now I see what my friends are saying, how they act. I see the hall that they're all in, a great point of aspiration towards a particular state. Why am I and my thoughts not there yet? this evokes great envy in me for the friends who are able to apply this strength. But this is a very powerful force. The most important thing is for this environment to act on my ego such that it would move in the right direction. Imagine how happy the Creator would be if it was a different quality, not egoism. And egoism makes us opposite not only to the Creator but also to each other. If we weren't shattered then with the Creator, be like, you know, like swings, let's say they're swinging, like a seesaw, and I'd be only one, I'd be alone on a seesaw. But since there are many of us, then we can rock back and forth. Egoism is probably good because it belongs to the Creator and revealing a deeper quality of egoism. We can attain that height of the Creator which was prepared for us, the attainment from the opposite. Egoism is a quality which I constantly aspire to do for myself. Each moment, my body and thoughts are directed at how to fulfill myself. But our unity is a completely different quality. It's a quality of bestowal. When I feel that, when I try to fulfill the others, to put all my strength into uniting with the friends. So how's egoism good in this? Is that I can take an example where I can, at every moment, it pushes me towards fulfilling myself, but from here, I can retune myself and direct all my strength towards unity and connection with the Creator.
My ego shows me that place, that need, which gives me the opportunity to understand what unity is. There is nothing else here. It's as if, you know, you have a zero followed by one, and one is like the ego, and the zero is like the Creator, and there is nothing else that can be here. I see the use here. I see a universal exercise machine. You begin to recognize that there is no way to cheat it. Wherever you turn, it's there, and there is nothing you can do. So all you have left now is this moment when we're all together, when I don't turn it in order to fulfill myself, but excuse me for lofty words, but I simply try to open my heart and to hear everyone that's sitting here in this circle. At that moment, this ego feels dread and pain, because there is nothing that it feels. Only, you know, if you see yourself on the screen for 5 minutes, but it passes quickly. all you have left now is simply this open heart into which the words of the friends flow. Why does our ego always grow, constantly grow? In our world, it grows in order to push us to more and more achievements, quote-unquote, so that we could see for ourselves that we're at a dead end. We haven't achieved anything good for us to become disillusioned with it. But in the spiritual, we also advance in the same manner in order to become disillusioned with it. We need to achieve this. So why does it continue to grow within us? It seems that I've already begun to overcome it in the group, with the friends, with the help of the study. Everything seems to be going okay. I seem to have found points of contact, and then suddenly it burst forth again, dragging me to all kinds of places and so on. Why does the ego continue to grow in our spiritual development? In the corporal, we understand why it happens. We understand progress and where it ends. And is it the same in the spiritual, or is it different? The ego gives us the opportunity to move forward until we have reached the Creator. Through the ego, through this addition, the Creator gives us more and more opportunity to rise toward Him. Without it, I'd simply be stuck at the point where I am now, and I would be unable to move forward. Why does our ego constantly grow in our spiritual development? It's clear why in the corporal it grows, but why does it go in the spiritual? Do we use it in the same way? The ego constantly grows in order to help us to advance. You cannot reveal something great and big all at once, something unattainable, especially if I'm not prepared for it. But with my ego allows me to reveal piece by piece, gradually, to feel all my friends and to reveal this connection between us, this point of unity between us, the Creator between us, to a greater and greater degree. I think that the ego grows because the point of contact with the Creator is there's no one beside Him. Meaning when you stand right in before the Creator and you don't have the strength to endure that. We need to go through changes in the spiritual. That's where it needs to take place. You need to become strong to ask the Creator to be, remain one-on-one with Him. At the very beginning, when you come to the group, it's as if you come to the gym, you take a small weight, but because if you're given a bigger weight, you're going to pull your back and you're not going to be able to do anything. But it's kind and it's good, it does good and loves you. But this weight is given to you gradually in order to allow you to train your strength to become stronger in this quality of bestowal. And gradually, the weight is increased. And this gives you the opportunity to do more. And thus, you're supposed to reach this end point of your ego. And I don't know what's going to happen at that moment, but something truly strong. And here, of course, the environment is critical because I come to this gym on my own and I'm unable to even to lift even a pound. But if I see 100 people beside me who are lifting 100 pounds each, I aspire to do the same as they do. And when they come to the group and I see the friends and they see that they aspire to reveal this quality, even though I'm unable to do it, I look at them and I aspire to do as they do.
We're trying to reveal it within the group, working with the friends in love. We get an egoism that we can add to our desires, our path to bestowal. There's a difference between material and spiritual desires, in that material desires are limited in their size, how much I can receive. But spiritual desires are limitless, infinite pleasure, and they grow, and they must grow to infinity, not because they're supposed to be, you know, big desires, but because they're never annulled. There's no limit to bestowal. In spirituality, egoism is the material which is directed against uniting with friends and the Creator. Therefore, if it increases, I gradually ascend step by step. If I was given a portion of egoism and able to ascend above it, then I get more and apply greater efforts, aspiration, in order to ascend above it, above this egoism, which is the material of this spiritual work. And likewise, step by step, ascending above egoism, I increase my connection and unification with friends and the Creator. I have a big request to keep that point of unity in everybody. Everybody that's speaking now, I'll repeat the question. Why does our egoism always grow? And what's the difference between material? Well, in the material, it's always increasing our desires, but it brings us to greater emptiness. The greater the desire, the less it's full. In spirituality, the miraculous quality of egoism is that it separates us. And because since egoism divides us, it allows us and gives us greater desire in order to sense it, to sense a greater pleasure in disturbance, in separation. And we always have to reveal a greater connection. It seems to me that egoism is a force that it must be understood that we're working with two forces. There's egoism, a type of bestowal, and it doesn't matter what you sense at the moment, it doesn't matter what you feel, you just have to understand that I'm working with forces, and egoism is just something that's revealed in us, and it's revealed. So, first of all, everybody try so that everybody would have a chance to speak. those that didn't have a chance at this question, so let them answer first the next round. Why does a game help us attain new reality? Why does a game help us attain new reality? I don't give you simple questions. If it's unclear, raise your hand. Why, by playing, we achieve a new reality? Why? How does the game help us? How does that game help us attain new reality? What is it in a game? Well, you can say simply that it builds a new neural connections, or you can say, like, in this world, I don't perceive anything. I don't know how to work on that step, but I haven't even attained it. Only after attaining it does the brain begin to process these things. To cement its the way that it thinks and works. This is a game. It's a great instrument. It's everything that forms a person. Every step is a game in and of itself. Well, first, a person is always where his attention is and thoughts are. And we don't know what unification is, or a game helps us to be in this thought with our attention, perhaps unconsciously, but it helps us somehow move forward. For example, if I don't know what to do, I'm afraid to start. A game takes off the pressure, lets us do something new, something I wouldn't have even thought of. Any game, if it's made well, you want to play it. The same thing we could say about life. It could be interesting, and this is egoistic desires. And you want to play all these different games. A game is a new reality. And the more we're mistaken when playing a game, the more we want to play it correctly. And so playing in this way, everybody that's participating here, suddenly it's up, a new start. But we already exist in this new state, but we know where we are. We don't know exactly what the state is. We're trying to play it. The greatness of the goal in a game is interesting in that it is an important quality, a second nature. So by playing and trying to play in bestowal and the importance of friends, seeing them as the greatest of the generation, when we play the state, after a while, it enters me. And it becomes my habit. What is a game? A game is that process which entertains me. It's something that I do with joy. I enjoy the process itself. And likewise, spirituality, I imagine the future state, the future pleasure, the connection. And it helps to advance with joy. And if to aspire towards a result, then my egoism swallows me and always feels a lack. And I'm in this lessened state because I don't receive what I demand. But a game, therefore a game is the best thing that can be, because it's a process which has to be undergone with joy. And at the end of the game, the result is always there. A game is something that really, in some sense of the word, a mystical process. When I play that which doesn't exist, I attract this knowledge sensation. It begins to permeate and build within me everything for the step, the situation, everything that's natural and how it actually is. In our world, if there are children playing, then playing in the group, we have this goal, and it helps us to connect to the goal and to go along the path that we've chosen, and it builds a model of the future state. Performing actions in this game and requesting light that reforms, that brings us to desire. I want to answer this question. You've already gone through it a little bit. The answer should have been, we can move forward with the help of a game because lost the connection. And the game, the part between steps, is for us to fill it ourselves. This gives us an attainment. It makes us equal to the Creator. Otherwise, ascending from step to step could have been done without our own efforts. Well, we could talk about it a lot, but... And now the question is, what is the uniqueness of the friends with which I now unite? What's special in them? And my friends whom I am now uniting with.
The ability to see the desire. For instance, I see the desire of any one of you. and I try to manifest it, to actualize it, and I need someone else for whom I can do that. Every one of us, if we're honest with one another, we didn't even smile to each other or said hi. I think it's because this importance of the goal that's generated every second here, it prevails so much over all of our differences that there's no other choice for us than to come to this point of unity, and it's already flying in the air, and I think we all feel it. And going back to this question, what is so unique? If it weren't for you, I wouldn't even be here. There would be nothing for me to aspire to. But because you are here, I every second I see friends who exist at the highest spiritual degrees. And for me, I need to exert tremendous effort to be with you, but looking at you, I know that it's possible. I know that this new degree, it's realistic, it's within my grasp. The uniqueness of people that have gathered here is that they have all picked one goal for themselves, and as a result, we're not pulling the blanket, trying to pull the blanket over to our side each, but we're in the same harness. Horses in the same harness, and we're helping one another to carry this tremendously heavy burden by aspiring all together towards the same goal, which is the point of our unity. I'll repeat the question. What is the unique quality, and how are the friends that have gathered here special? As far as I understand, revealing the Creator, with the quality of bestowal, can only be done in a desire towards this unity. Consequently, the uniqueness of the friends is that they, much like me, and I sense this, I discovered this with looking at their behavior and seeing the things they say, is that they have the same aspiration towards the Creator. They may not understand it very clearly, they may not grasp it, but it's the same aspiration that I have. And this new kli in which the new world can be revealed, I can only build it together with them. When one point unites another point, and then you have a collection of points, and the friends ensure that I know that I have no other means, I have no other instrument in which to reveal, to discover this new reality. The question about the drawing. Every one of us represents a certain fragment, a piece of a puzzle. Everyone knows what those are. Every one of us is that. Imagine if there is a certain configuration, internal configuration, it can only be connected to others of its type. Therefore, when the light rouses us, and with even intensity, it brings us to a state when we begin to gradually enter into contact with one another on a preliminary basis. But we're the ones who need to make the actual contact. We end up at a group not by our own volition. But it is up to us, once we are inside, to make that connection. It brings us and he gives us the initial conditions, but then we must compel him. That's the meaning of the phrase, my sons have defeated me. And last question, I'm being shown that I'm going to be carried off stage soon. I need to conclude. We're actually running late. So let's ask this question. What would be the good outcome of a workshop? A good conclusion of the workshop. What do you think? For every one of us, in accordance with what Rabash said, that exclusively perfection, because there is nothing else. If we want to become similar to the Creator, and the Creator is eternity and perfection, then at the end of our workshop, as we conclude everything that we do here, we need to conclude in a state of full and absolute unity, which would be equivalent to perfection. I think that the conclusion to a workshop needs to be that internal and external joy that we truly are together. We have endured another stage together, and now we are moving on to the next one. Sensation of love towards the friends, towards others. This inner sensation of fulfillment and satisfaction. To me, that is a good conclusion of this workshop. Conclusion of a workshop is when every person felt a sensation that he has never felt up till that point. I think that's the goal of the seminar. The states over the course of the workshops, the workshop were different, but the end result, I'm only reinforced in thinking that I will continue on forward. A good conclusion to the workshop, I think, is that there is greater unification between us as compared to the state in which we started, meaning I came with a state of where I am and others are separate, but now I have moved a little bit, I've transitioned from the state where there's me and there's others towards the state when we're all together. So as we continue with our workshops, this intensity, it needs to increase, and the Kli needs to reach that point when the light is ready to be revealed within the Kli between us, and that's when we continue advancing together. A good conclusion to the workshop is when I feel more strength within and more confidence to continue the path that I have chosen for myself. And I feel that I have renewed strength to exert in love of friends. I see that this really is possible. I see that we are actualizing it where we are, every one of us, and we have the strength to keep moving forward. A workshop is a game, as we have spoken. The good conclusion is winning. And winning love of friends. I heard that our entire life must become one long seminar. At least we're talking about our Kabbalistic life. But if we're talking about this particular small, short seminar that is about to end, it's a good conclusion to this seminar would be yet another rope that's tied to the inner ear. Another one somewhere else, so that regardless of where we are and what we're doing, we could feel it. The sensation of greater unity, greater connection. I want to add that a good conclusion to the seminar, would be the opportunity to see all the friends that are sitting here as colossal, giant friends, the greatest righteous of the generation. If at the beginning of the workshop I felt, well, okay, I guess they are righteous, but as a result, the workshop has revealed that they really are a tremendous force.